Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody. It is a Saturday morning, in the Delaware Valley. He's Ray Dinger. I'm Glenn Mack now. And of course, it is a Sixers Saturday as they try to close out against the Toronto Raptors. First round of the NBA playoffs. And Ray, as good as we're feeling about it, some news came over yesterday. Still uncertain exactly the extent of this, but we do know that Joel Embiid is dealing with a thumb issue. Sixers are listing him as available today. He is supposed to play. He's got a right thumb sprain, some say. Maybe more, some say. Tests will be done. All expectations is that he is going to play through it, manage it. And as long as they are in a run, Joel Embiid will be part of it. So the question becomes to you, Ray, how concerning is this?
Well, up three nothing in the series, you've got a significant margin of error here, where if he's a little off his game for a game or two, it's still not critical. If you were dealing with this and you were down 3-1 in the series, I'd be very worried. But you know, I think right now they're sitting in a pretty good place, and he doesn't seem too concerned, and the coach doesn't seem too concerned. So, well, I mean, everybody kind of agrees that this is going to hamper him a little bit, at least in the short term, but not enough to alter the arc of the series, it wouldn't appear. I mean, the Sixers have really come into the playoffs playing much better than I expected.
Well, yes, you and I, let's be honest, thought we picked Toronto to win this thing in 7 games, and right now, I'm pretty confident that's not going to happen. Love to be wrong on this one. I just want to read you. There were a series of reports yesterday from local and national reporters, people who cover the NBA, the insiders. Most of them said, essentially, you know, it's something that he's going to play through and it's a sprain. Shams, who I'd be honest with you and tell you I don't trust because he is a client of Clutch Sports, which is the same thing that Ben Simmons is a client of. And so while he is a national reporter, I feel he's tainted.
Mm-hmm.
Nonetheless, his text was the most concerning one. His tweet, excuse me, he said, "The bigger currently unconfirmed report is that Embiid possibly has a torn ligament in his right thumb, but hopes to play through it and it will be about pain tolerance."
Mm-hmm.
Well, if he's got a torn ligament, that's a lot more serious than a sprain. And as they move on through the playoffs, which is a slog, right? I mean, you got to win 4 rounds. You got to win 16 games. Playing every other night, every third night, it's a lot to ask if it is, in fact, a torn ligament.
Right. Well, they were saying they were going to MRI it, but not in Toronto. They're going to wait till they come back to Philadelphia and then determine exactly what the extent of the injury is. But he had his hand in a brace, and he had the thumb in a wrap, so he's obviously got some issue there. And you're right, there's a big difference between a sprain and a torn ligament. If it's a torn ligament, then that's not going to go away. That's something he's going to have to manage and play with. And you don't want to have your best player, and clearly he's your best player, at less than 100% in the championship round.
And by the way, transitioning, he still made one of the best, clutch, most iconic shots I have seen a big man take in the NBA in a long time, with that thrilling game winner in overtime the other night.
Yeah, it was.
It was spectacular.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't quite Christian Laettner, but it wasn't far off.
So why has this series been so much easier than we expected?
I don't know. I guess maybe it tells you the difference between regular season and postseason. You know, the Toronto beat them 3 out of 4, but that the NBA regular season, that's may not mean exactly what you think it means. Some of it's, you know, you played them at the time you played them, coming off of what? How big was the game in your eyes? How ready were you to play? The regular season, I mean, let's face it, most of these teams go through it with one eye closed.
Yeah, you know? You got 82 games. It's the second night of a back-to-back. You're playing in another city. It's like, you know, it's March. You've already played 60 games. Yeah, I agree with you.
I thought that, you know, from a matchup standpoint, I thought that it looked like a tougher series. But, you know, it's become pretty obvious. Certainly the two games in Philadelphia, it's obvious that the Sixers are a better team. In the first two games in Philadelphia, they neutralized what we thought could be a big advantage by the Raptors by not allowing them to dominate the offensive boards. That wasn't so much the case in Toronto, but but it certainly was the case in Philadelphia.
They rebounded them. Right.
And as long as they can hold their own off the glass, then they clearly are the better team, because then Toronto can't get out and run and do the things that they want to do.
Another surprise to me has been, I thought that Nick Nurse was going to outcoach Doc Rivers.
Yeah, I think everybody did.
And Nick Nurse's method of coaching so far has been mostly whining to the referees.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to nominate Doc Rivers for any big awards yet, but he has won three games and he's done it. And I was impressed the other night when there's, 2.9 seconds to go in overtime. And this is him on the sideline.
George, this is you. Danny, you're taking the ball out. On the hit. Bam. Right when he gets past you, George, you're running out. Tobias, you're picking him. And then you're popping.
Go early, Danny.
All right?
And it worked to a T.
Yeah, just the way you drew it up.
It did. Again, I'm not putting Doc in the Hall of Fame for that one play call, but when you are watching a game and they take you there and you see the coach do it and it works exactly like that and they win the game, hey, give credit where it is. We've ripped Doc Rivers a lot this year.
Yes, we have.
With cause.
Mm-hmm.
He deserves to be praised right now.
Yeah, true.
Okay.
True. And the other part of it is another rare NBA moment when the players actually did what the coach told them to do.
They paid attention.
How many times do you see the guy diagram the play, call it out, everybody's assignment, the horn sounds, the guys walk out on the floor, and then they just throw it in bounds, and they do whatever they want to do.
They didn't have Scottie Pippen sulking on the bench
This time, the coach draws up the play, the players go out and execute it, and you win. Gee, what a concept.
Tobias Harris with like the double screen was great. Okay. Want to move on to something else. We will return to all these issues. You're invited to give us a call, 215-592-9494. We got a lot in the show today, Ray. This is going to be a three-hour sprint.
Right.
By the way, there is so much news going on right now, we decided to hold off Tell Us Your Story this week.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't want to give short shrift to any of the big stories going on. Tell Us Your Story will return. Actually, not next week. It's the NFL draft.
Right.
The week after that, we got a couple good guests lined up. Okay, next issue. Speaking of a shocker, this week, out of nowhere as far as we knew,
mm-hmm.
the best coach in this town decides to retire early. I want to play a little bit. This is Jay Wright yesterday talking about his decision to retire.
I started to feel just like I didn't have the edge that I've always had, where it just, the edge always came natural to me. And I started evaluating it. You know, sometimes, you know, I would never have to think about anything I did. I would just go into a team meeting, go into a practice, had everything set. So I started thinking like, better get yourself fired up here. You better, let's go. And I said, these players, we always ask our players, you're either 100% in or you're against us. And I always thought, you know, Father and Mark, Justin Camella, part of this process was them convincing me not to do this, trying to convince me not to do this. And they're great. It's salesmen and intelligent people. One of the times they said, well, 70% of you is as good as anybody else, which I appreciated, but we could never coach that way. You know, we couldn't ask the players, you got to give 100%, and I'm giving 70%. So I just knew it was the right time.
Ray, your thoughts?
100% authentic. And I believe every word of it. You know, a lot of times in situations like this, people, players, coaches walk away and they have their final press conference. And a lot of guys say what they think they should be saying under the circumstances. But you sit there and you listen and you say, I don't know what I believe all that. In Jay Wright's case, I believe 100% of it. I think he, and it was clear in his exposition yesterday that he said that he had arrived at this decision during the course of the year. That it was something that he knew that at the end of this year, I'm walking away. And the only ones who knew it were his wife, his immediate family, and his and the superiors at Villanova. But everybody kept the secret. He didn't want to do the farewell tour. He didn't want all of that stuff.
I want to emphasize that for a moment, okay?
Right.
Because to me, that is tremendously significant. All these coaches and players, and listen, I don't begrudge them.
No, not at all. They've earned it.
But, you know, with Mike Krzyzewski, you had the whole year, oh, this is Mike Krzyzewski's last game here, and this is his last home game. And he didn't want that victory lap.
Right.
And that is a rare, rare thing. I give him a lot of credit for it. Again, I don't begrudge a guy who does it.
No,
I mean,
not
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar had the greatest one of all time, where you gave him a rocking chair at every place he went.
Every arena, when it was final game there, they had a night honoring him.
Yeah.
And they should. He was the leading scorer in the game's history.
But that Jay Wright wanted no part of that.
Right.
Just wanted to, you know, excuse. It was what John Chaney said when he was done. Excuse me while I disappear.
Right.
And that's how Jay did it. And the other thing that really struck me in this regard is he's only 60.
Right.
Which is young for anybody to retire. And coaches don't retire. Coaches just keep going.
Yeah, I know.
And he you know, God bless him. I don't know what he plans to do. I mean, he certainly has the right to go and lay down on a beach and play golf all day if that's what he wants to do.
Absolutely.
Good for him. Enjoy his family. Or maybe he finds, you know, he says he's going to be involved with the program. I don't know. I don't know what that means.
Well, I mean,
he's
going to be,
what are you going
to
do?
Yeah, he's going to be an assistant to the president.
Yeah.
So knowing Jay a little bit, I think he understands that he has to keep his distance from the basketball.
I agree. And so I, mean, I don't
he's
know
got,
what that
I mean,
means.
Kyle Neptune can't, it's going to be hard enough to escape the shadow of Jay Wright. He can't afford to have that shadow be a real shadow every day at practice. So I think that Jay's smart enough to know that I have to just disappear from the basketball program. But be part of the university, be an ambassador for the university, be an advisor to the president, be a presence on the campus, all that kind of stuff. It's very positive, and he could certainly do that. But I think he's really going to keep his distance. Remember when John Wooden stepped down at UCLA? I mean, there was the greatest college basketball coach ever and retired. And everybody said, boy, what's it going to be like to follow him? He maintained his office in the athletic building.
Right? I don't remember.
And he continued to go to the games and sit behind the bench.
Oh, that's not good. Who replaced him as coach? Do you remember?
God, I can't remember.
I don't, but it's, you know, we've always said replacing a legend is a really hard thing to do.
Yeah, well,
and it will be hard for Kyle Neptune, no question about it.
No question. Now, he certainly comes in with the blessing of Jay. I mean, he was
does.
Jay's assistant, and he was obviously the guy that Jay wanted. So he comes in with the blessings of the guy going out, which is helps. But, I mean, the first time they lose a home game or the first time they blow a 10-point lead in the last 4 minutes – you know, all of a sudden people are going to say, I don't know if he's the guy.
Well, here's what Kyle Neptune has to live up to. This is the last 9 seasons of Jay Wright. 2 national titles, 3 Final Four runs, 7 Big East regular season titles, 5 Big East tournament titles, 22-6 in NCAA tournament games.
Right, amazing.
22-6, 263-45 overall. 83% winning percentage, and in Big East regular season games, 130-31. I mean, nobody can expect to do that. Nobody. So I do, you know, you hope that the alums, that the people who have interest, that the fan base says, okay, you know, we're starting over. We gotta have realistic expectations and allow this guy to grow what he's got to grow his way. Things may change. So with Jay, is this a Dick Vermeil burnout without the popping neck veins?
I think so. I think it's just, you know, if you raise the bar as high as Jay raised it, you reach a point where you just say, how can I get, you know, you raise it to a point where even you can't get over it, you know, and I think that that's kind of what it was. And the pressure that builds on you, the expectation that builds on you, the demands of it, the demands of the job, the time, the recruiting, the pressure, the travel, the responsibility of the kids, you know, making sure they're going to class, making sure everything's kind of in place. I mean, they're your responsibility. And I think, I don't know that every college basketball coach feels it, but I think he did. I think he felt like he was responsible for these kids, not just as athletes, but as students and as citizens. And that's one of the great – I mean, you read off all the statistics, and we all know the statistics, how many games he won, his winning percentage, all the Final Fours, the two championships. But the other part of it that's equally amazing, if not more amazing, was he did it all without a hint of scandal.
Yes.
I mean, his kids, by and large, graduated. There was never any misbehavior, kids getting in trouble off
the
campus.
The kids graduated is a big deal. It was not a one-and-done school.
No.
I mean, Krzyzewski stayed successful. These kids went to Duke for a year, and then they left.
Right.
You go to play for Jay, you're going to play for Jay for the long term.
Yeah, and even the kids who did leave early all said they were going to come back and get their degree, and they have, by and large. So, I mean, he built this tremendous winning program without the advantages that went to the bigger state schools. He did all that, and did it while running a clean program at a time when you hardly ever find those anymore.
Yeah.
So he made it work on every front, but there's no question that it was a total absorption 24/7 job that I think just finally wore him down.
An amazing legacy, and I will say, and I know this is going to sound stupid and self-centered and so on, but I think it's more than me. He made me a Villanova fan,
mm-hmm.
and I was not a Villanova fan.
Yeah, I know.
I mean,
that.
I worked at St. Joe's, so I had my loyalty there for a long time, but I always carried the Raleigh Massimino grudge, break up the Big Five, that whole thing. There was the other four schools, and there was Villanova, and then that bugged me. And Jay, I think Jay worked, I mean, it wasn't his primary motivation, but he knew people in town felt that way. Whenever you would hear Jay talk, he would bring in Philadelphia basketball.
Always.
He would talk about the Big Five, big part of Coaches Against Cancer, the whole thing, part of the fraternity, and ran everything that you said, and his terrific personality took people like me, who didn't used to root for Villanova, and made us root for Villanova. He put the whole metropolitan area behind Villanova. You know, it stopped being the nonsense talk of like, it's not a Philadelphia school.
Right.
That faded away. Not entirely, but it faded away, and it's because of him.
Right.
Legacy he's anybody in this team.
Well, the funny part is you go back, you dial the clock back 21 years to when he was hired, and when he was hired, there was a lot of Jay Wright, Hofstra. I mean, really? I mean, this is the guy who's going to take over the program? He's going to take over Villanova? I mean, there were a lot of people that were scratching their heads saying, I don't know. And then he came in and merely became the greatest coach in a town that has produced many, many great college basketball coaches, Hall of Famers, worthy Hall of Famers. He came in and accomplished more than any of them. And did it with real style and real grace. So I was shocked when, my wife walked into the room the other night and said, hey, I just saw it online, Jay Wright's resigning. I said, what? I mean, talk about one you never saw coming. But, he did it the right way. And I hope, and you could see the emotion yesterday, how tough this was for him. I mean, how many times he choked up.
Yeah.
It was, I think it was a lot of, I think, I went through it with Dick Vermeil in 82.
Yeah.
That wasn't a surprise because I think.
No, people saw that coming.
Those
that was
of
the
us,
year of the strike and everything kind of went south and Bloom was off the road.
Those of us that were around Dick saw the strain that he was under. And so when that came along, it was not a shock. This, to me, was a shock.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, they got to the Final Four and nobody got a sense of it. So, yes.
No.
All right. One other thing. As I said, we have so much to bring up today in terms of Jay Wright, in terms of, I mean, the big story, the Sixers play this afternoon. We're going to talk about that a lot. We have a couple of good guests to talk about that. In terms of the NFL draft, which we're going to do the Ray Dettinger draft report in the next segment. I see we already have a caller wants to talk about the draft. Andy, we'll get to you in the next segment. In terms of the Phillies, in terms of everything else, I want to work just a little Eagles into the first segment.
All right.
And I didn't want to start it with a big, big issue. But I do want
to... from the gun. Steps up. There's room in front of him. Looks deep. Zings it downfield. It's caught. Arthego Whiteside strolls in. Touchdown, Eagles. Joe Flacco making it happen.
Now, Ray, we didn't get enough of that over the last 2 years.
No.
I'm not referring to Flacco.
Mm-hmm.
I had to find the J.J. Arcega-Whiteside highlight, and to be honest, it wasn't easy.
Mm-hmm.
But that was one. In an effort to save his disappointing career, it was announced this week that J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, by the way, 6'2", 225.
Which, right.
So he's not the biggest guy in the locker room. Is going to be moving from wide receiver to tight end, and thus rekindle his burnt out career. Ray,
right.
I'll ask this as openly as I can. Does this have even a shot in hell?
Well, it depends on what your expectations are.
To make the roster and be a contributor.
I mean, are you talking on the Rob Gronkowski scale? Are you expecting this to be
a
total reinvention?
No, a contributor.
Well, I think that they could. I think if you just think of him in terms of being your number two tight end and a guy who's going to play on all your special teams, can he be that? Yeah, he can be that. I mean, you've already got the tight end that you're really going to throw the ball to in Dallas Goedert. So what you're talking about now is who's the number two when you go two tight ends?
Well, they got the Jack Stoll guy who didn't impress me. They got that Tyree Jackson, that 6'7" kid who sounded great until we saw him play, and then he got hurt. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, the coaches last summer at training camp were very excited about Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, you got to – well, I mean, he's an intriguing package. I mean, he's 6'7", he's almost 6'8". 250 pounds, but he's a quarterback who's learning how to play tight end. So he's got a long way to go before he's NFL ready. And then he finishes the year with a knee injury that who knows when he's going to recover from that.
Right, we're off the topic. My question is J.J. Arcega-Whiteside ever going to be worth a damn? That's the official question.
Depending on how you want to use him. I mean, is he going to be a revelation? I guess that's kind of what you're asking. Will he go to tight end and become a real significant contributor?
Bring him in on third down, make some clutch catches, 20 to 30 catches over the course of the year, throw a block or two, be a contributor. My vote is I would be shocked if he is. You know, I guess they'd look for mismatches or whatever.
That's it.
But you seem to – I'm sensing from you an affirmative.
Only because
I was here to mock J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
Well, no.
You're here to praise him.
No. I understand where I'm setting the bar. I'm setting the bar pretty low. You're going to have that other tight end. And the coaches really thought that he was a good special teams player.
Oh, and they blocker. They told us how he can block.
And he's a willing cover guy, so he will do a lot of the dirty work on special teams, which you need somebody to do that. And if your expectations are that the second tight end isn't going to be the focal point of the offense, that all you need for him to come in and maybe make a catch here and there and block a little bit, can he do that? Yeah, I think he can do that.
Is it too early to make a stupid football bet? Because I would bet he doesn't make the roster.
Really?
Yes. What do you want to bet? Doesn't have to be dinner. It could be something smaller.
That he doesn't make the roster?
Yeah.
That when they kick it off in September, that he's
not a Philadelphia Eagle.
Really?
Yeah, I'll make the bet. What do you want to bet?
He's not even on the practice squad. He's not even
practice squad's not on the varsity.
That he's not. Okay, the bet is
he's got to be on the varsity. He's got to dress.
He's got to be one of the 53.
Yes.
Opening day. That he's one of your 53.
Yes.
Wearing the Kelly Green.
Yeah.
What do you want? No, he won't be wearing Kelly Green. Wearing a uniform.
Yeah.
I think he will be.
Well, we got a bet.
All right.
Figure what. Again, I don't want to do a $300 dinner, but I would bet, you know, lunch. I'll bet. Here's what I'll bet: 6 cups of coffee versus 6 Diet Cokes.
Fair enough.
There you go. We got a deal. All right. Coming up on the show today, Amy Fadul. Excuse me,
mm-hmm.
Leslie Goodell, Amy Fadul. I've confused them. Amy Fadul is going to join us to talk about Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
Really interesting guest in the 11 o'clock hour, Jack McCallum, one of the great basketball writers in this country over the last 30, 40 years. And by the way, a guy who wrote a biography of Jerry West is going to come on with, and by the way, a guy who once worked with Ray Dinger back in the day.
Worked with me at the Philadelphia Bulletin.
Is going to come on and talk with us about how realistic or not the hit HBO show Winning Time is.
I have a feeling I know where Jack's coming down on this. Just a wild guess.
We got a great Shibe this week in Philadelphia sports history that may involve Allen Iverson. We're going to take your calls on all nature of things. Coming up next, after the break, Ray Dinger gives his NFL draft preview. 215-592-9494. We've got room for you. Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack, now on 94 WIP.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer,
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait. There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.